Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
I welcome my good colleagues, Bill Raggio, Senior Fellow, Foundation for Defense of Democracies. He keeps the Long War Journal with his colleagues, and one of his bold colleagues who's here to help us understand the Syrian darkness visible is Ahmad Sharawi, reporting in these last days on the violence in Suweida province, southernmost Syria, on the border with Jordan. We're looking at violence said to be directed against the Druze, who are a minority in Syria, as they are a minority in Israel and Lebanon and throughout the region. They do not have a sovereign state, so they're in all places simultaneously. What's significant about this violence is, as of last week, it was reported that it was a dispute between the Druze community in Syria and the Bedouin community in Syria. Bedouins also range across all these nations. Remember, once upon a time, this was the Ottoman Empire, and there were no borders. They were drawn about 100 years ago by the British Empire at the close of the Versailles Treaty. However, 100 years later, the different factions eye each other's territory as if it was sovereign. It is not. Ahmed, I come to you because the headlines are inexact, but within these last hours, we have this from Yahoo.com. Syria evacuates Bedouin from Druze-majority Suweida as ceasefire holds. We also have within hours, U.S. warns over another Middle Eastern war. That's Newsweek within these last hours. Update us from your report at the end of last week. Where is the violence, if it still exists? Who is accounting for what I was told was a large number of corpses being brought to the hospital? Where are we in the investigation? Where are we in the violence? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. So for the past 12 hours, it's been relatively calm. The Syrian government has retrieved the Bedouins who were taken hostage or taken prisoner by the Druze militias operating in Suweida. Just let me go back into... So on Thursday, or after intense airstrikes by the IDF, Ahmed al-Shara, the new Syrian president, decided to pull out his troops from Suweida. When he pulled out his troops, some of these Druze militias started attacking Bedouins. These Bedouins who are local to the area in Suweida, these are Sunni Arabs. Even though there's been a lot of misinformation about Bedouins being an ethnic minority, they are not ethnically distinct from other Arabs or Sunnis. They just chose a different lifestyle, a more nomadic lifestyle. So there's been clashes between... So the Druze militias attacked the Bedouin communities who were left in Suweida. This prompted Bedouin militants and fighters all across Syria to mobilize and attack Suweida. So in terms of the tribal structure, when a tribe is attacked, it usually mobilizes and seeks to or seeks revenge from those who attacked it. And that's why we saw these large numbers of fighters. These are not government fighters. Let me start. The government is out of Suweida or was out of Suweida during the weekend. And so we saw clashes between Bedouins and Druze militias until a ceasefire was announced by the United States, brokered by the United States, Jordan, Turkey. And that prompted government forces to enter the Suweida and prevent Bedouin forces from entering the province and entering Suweida city. It was finalized by this deal that led to the retrieving of Bedouins from the city of Suweida. However, it's still unclear whether the government will remain in the province or if they will withdraw and leave Druze militias intact.
And what is security now in Suweida, to follow up?
It's still tense. Again, there's a lot of uncertainty on in terms of whether the government will remain in the area. The Druze militias refuse government control or the government's presence in the area. And so we should, if the government fails to reach a solution with the Druze militias, then we might see a restart in clashes, if not today, but in the future, because this is a very unsustainable situation where the area is effectively outside of state's control, an area where there's lawlessness, captagon smuggling, but at the same time, there's a lot of uncertainty towards the new government, the new Syrian government, because of its jihadi roots and its sectarian nature.
Bill, you have a question for Ahmed or a comment?
Yeah, Ahmed, you mentioned the misinformation in this war. I'd like for you to discuss this further. Of all the wars I've covered, Syria is the most difficult due to this issue. What are some of the biggest lies that are being told about this conflict at this time? And why are they being perpetrated, these lies?
Sure. Let me just start with, again, I think me personally, I see myself as an analyst who seeks truth, and I'm not taking sides, but there's selective reporting on what's happening. For example, there's Bedouins who were killed. These are civilians, unarmed, who were killed, taken hostage, maimed, and no one mentions them. No one talks about them. At the same time, the government forces did cause, a lot of chaos in Suwayda. They did kill a lot of civilians, unarmed civilians, for sectarian reasons. If we're looking for honest reporting, I would expect a similar reporting on the other side. At the same time, when we discussed this off air, this idea of ISIS attacking the Druze areas, and the Syrian government is not ISIS. There's a very big difference. And Bill, as you mentioned also off air, that people who put that flag, the ISIS flag, that doesn't mean they're ISIS. As you said, it was al-Shabaab's flag even before that. So there's a lot of generalization, oversimplification of key facts, all for a certain agenda. I think there's a lot of people who are reporting that this is a genocide and there's mass atrocities and all these buzzwords. And of course, we know Syria is the land of misinformation. There is a lot of unreliable reporting coming out of there. We don't have an official count of the death toll. The Syrian Observatory for Human Rights, known for its unreliability, is reporting a number. Other sources are reporting other numbers. So what this misinformation leads, it leads to people here in the United States thinking that there's a lot happening in Syria and that it might need our intervention, or that the U.S. must do something to protect minorities or communities in Syria. And another thing has been including Christians in this reporting. So I've seen a lot on social media reporting.
Yeah, it's very frustrating, Ahmed. It's the ISIS thing. Yeah, the HTS, the Haitir al-Sham's roots are with al-Qaeda. Shara is still listed as a specially designated global terrorist for leading al-Qaeda's branch, but al-Qaeda and ISIS are two very different organizations, and they do not cooperate, particularly in Syria.
Ahmed, I want to tell an anecdote I heard from last week. A man in Chicago, a Druze, living in the diaspora, says that he was on the phone with his brother, who is a judge in Suwayda. And his brother was whispering on the phone because he said there were gunmen outside, and if they heard, they'd come in and kill his family. That may or may not be a reflection of who's outside, but he was fearful of the gunmen so much so they kept the call short. What does that mean about what's going on in Suwayda? Is that over, or is that a threat? Are people hiding in their homes because of gunmen?
There's a serious concern that there might be a restart of hostilities and more government forces who might be seeking retribution against the Druze militias and the Druze population. That's a given fact. And again, images and videos of these reported killings have shown that these forces are willing to take such actions. Yes, there is a fear, and this fear will remain until there's a political solution to this whole chaos, because again, the Druze did not trust Shara before this. Now they don't trust him even more. And of course, uncertainty and distrust only creates more fear of the other.
Bill, you have a question for Ahmed.
Yeah, Ahmed, do you think that there is a political solution that is feasible in this situation? And how does what's happened in the Alawite areas in Latakia, where there was a massacre of about 1,500 people, and then this action in Soweda, how does the Syrian Kurds, how does it make it likely for them to come to a political solution with the Shara government?
I mean, it makes it very unlikely, I think. I think there's a lot of steps to be taken by the Shara government to show all these minorities and ethnic groups that he is the president for all Syrians and not just one segment. I think, he needs to realize that not because he liberated Damascus, he gets to rule it with an iron fist. I think he needs to understand that there's local sensitivities, that there's other groups in Syria that want to exist and want to be part of the state. And he should at least guarantee them their rights to political participation. Again, he needs to alleviate these fears that they have because of his jihadi past. Maybe start off with not promoting foreign jihadists among your ranks as a first step. He had 7 months to at least show these people that he's a trustworthy politician or president, but he hasn't done enough. He hasn't done anything, actually. And he needs to hold people accountable who committed crimes in the Syrian coast and people who committed crimes in southern Syria, in the Druze areas. He needs to put them in front of a judge, create a judicial system that is equitable for all Syrians, and show them that he's willing to prosecute even those who are amongst his ranks. This needs a lot of time, and I think he's short on time when it comes to that, because he's losing trust day by day. The Kurds, who are formidable, who man a 100,000 army, who are well-equipped, if Shara tries to do something that similar to what he did with the Druze, this will only bring back the most violent days of the Syrian civil war.
We're speaking with Ahmad Sharari of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, contributing to the Long War Journal, where you can see his reporting on these matters. It's extremely non-transparent. We're going to turn to the larger story. Iran is said to be the brain of the octopus. Where is it with regard to Syria, with regard to the so-called ceasefire? Where are the talks? Bill Raggio is my colleague and co-host of the FDD, Long War Journal. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.